against Lincoln is our next case this morning. Mr. Williams.
May it please the court, counsel. Your Honor, my name is Ralph E. Williams from Springfield, Illinois, and I'm a court-appointed attorney representing Mr. Timothy Lincoln in this matter. Your Honor, as I brief states, our issues center around the sufficiency of the evidence that was presented at trial. We believe there was insufficient evidence to find the defendant knowingly and willfully made false statements on his workman compensation claim. And we also believe that the application of the obstruction of justice enhancement for perjury was erroneously applied. First, the sufficiency of the evidence. The defendant, early on, sought assistance to help in the application of the workman comp claim. In fact, he sought the postal inspector specialist who was involved in helping claimants fill these things out and very little assistance. He also, testimony was given that he sought the assistance of counsel, again was unable to get the assistance. He stated early on that he was confused and didn't really understand the process. At the time, as he stated in his testimony on direct examination, he was ongoing personal problems at home, considering the welfare of his mother, where she would go, had financial difficulties. He was under a lot of turmoil during the time period that this application process was occurring. But what was undisputable is the fact that, A, the defendant was actually injured. He was injured at the latter part of December of 1999, but he did not seek to apply for workman comp benefits until after he had two surgeries on his wrist and arm in July or August of 2000. And again, he was seeking assistance in trying to prepare for these claims. We believe that he did not knowingly and willfully misrepresent his position. As was stated in his testimony, he was found working at a bookstore that was managed by his girlfriend, and he did minimal work assistance to her. He testified that although he was seen on audio and videotape of moving boxes, it was not to the length or the amount that would cause any strains. He was just assisting, not actually working. In his mindset, although he filled out an application and stated that he had employment at the bookstore, in his mindset, as he stated, he didn't believe that was real work considering the minimal amount of money that he received. In fact, during the time that the government is stating that he made the false statements of not being employed when in fact he was employed, was doing a 3-month period, which total compensation that he received, I believe, was a total of $71. Again, with his girlfriend being in that position, he was trying to lend assistance to her. He clearly misrepresented himself, and he clearly did not have a full understanding of the repercussions that misrepresentation would have. But as was stated and as was consistently applied in his testimony, he just didn't know. He was confused. He was in a state of personal stress. He was unable to get the assistance that was needed in order to adequately and properly fill out that claim. Now, I believe that it's quite prevalent to bring out the point of a distance in time. Again, knowingly and willfully, did he intend to defraud the government to deprive them of the money and to benefit from that deprivation? He waited 6 months after the injury occurred before he even attempted to apply for the working comp benefit. Clearly, if he had the specific intent early on to defraud the government, he would have taken the initial opportunity, which could have been immediately after his injury, but he did not. Now, as for our second argument about the enhancement, Mr. Lincoln testified on his own behalf, and as the district court stated, he did himself a disservice. It was the court did not believe him. He was uncredible. In fact, it's because of his testimony the district court stated he did himself a disservice and did not find him credible at all.
but he was consistent in his statement as to what his state of mind was. He never denied when confronted with the video pictures of him or his signature on the application that that was he. He stated it was him, but he gave explanation as to why he put it there, and he gave explanation as to what he was doing. It was not, as the court perceived that testimony, perjury. It may have been incredulous, incredible for the court to believe, but it was not an outright lie. He did not lie as to his state of mind as to what he was doing. Now, I think that is imperative because the court was not hampered by his statements. He gave the statements from his position, from his point of view, from what he believed was occurring and why it occurred. If he was in the position of perjuring himself or lying to the court, he could have, and as stated before, he did not, he could have specifically denied that was his signature on the application. He could have denied that that was not him or that he was not in that vicinity at the particular time. He addressed what was brought to him, the evidence, overwhelming evidence. He addressed what he felt he was doing at that particular time. The court ruled against him, found him guilty, and could understand that from that position. But to penalize him for testifying, which he clearly had the right to do, to testifying as to what his state of mind, especially under the circumstances that he was working under during that time period, we feel was a double penalty, a penalizing for basically testifying. That is our argument, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has the right to testify, but not to testify falsely.
That's correct, Your Honor, and that is perjury. As he stood on the stand and took this oath to tell the truth, he thought he was telling the truth. He stated that he did not consider what he was doing at the bookstore as being employment, relating to, again, the compensation that he was receiving. Very minimal compensation over a 3-month period, which did not indicate that he was consistently going to a 9-to-5, doing significant work, and most importantly, receiving compensation from that.
Well, the application asked if he even had done any volunteer work or anything.
Correct.
Make a full disclosure.
And he made a misrepresentation. And again, I contend that he didn't understand the significance of the minimal amount of work that he was doing would be considered actual work, and the consequences of not applying or putting that on the application. We believe that he was confused, didn't understand the significance, but did not have the state of mind to willfully and intentionally defraud the government.
Just clear up the correct spelling of his first name.
I'm sorry, sir.
The correct spelling of his first name.
Timothy?
Is it 2M?
It is one M, sir. T-I-M-O-T-H-Y.
Should be 1M. Okay.
Thank you
very much.
Mr. Gilmore.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Greg Gilmore for the United States. Your Honor, Judge Evans asked about the correct spelling of the defendant's name. I think actually in the transcript when the defendant testified, he testified his name was spelled with 2 M's.
The judgment says 1 M.
Yes, there was confusion during trial, I think, as to the correct spelling of his name.
Maybe he was testifying falsely.
To a material matter. Well, Your Honor, when he testified, he did not spell his first name, so that won't clear that up. All right, thank you. Your Honors, in regards to the sufficiency of the evidence, it was false information he provided. It was knowingly and willfully made. It was a matter within the jurisdiction of a federal department of agency. We hear about this argument of confusion. There was no confusion. He said he couldn't use his left hand. He couldn't bathe himself. He needed assistance. No other activities other than trying to rehabilitate himself and this injury. The evidence was in direct opposite of that. Showed him shoveling snow, sweeping off his car, working at the bookstore. Now, this claim that it was a minimal amount of compensation is really a red herring. As the court noted, volunteer work would be important. The reason it's important is because if he was volunteering at his temple or church or at a school as a custodian, that would be relevant to the post office because they could formulate a job for him so that they could pay him to work rather than pay him for not working. In regards to perjury, Your Honor, Judge Scott made specific findings concerning that, and I don't think it could be said any better than, now such parsing of words and such a deviation of the world of Alice in Wonderland is not acceptable, and it's beyond Alice in Wonderland. It's an outright lie. The defendant outright lied to the court. It was a material matter. There was no confusion. He simply tried to mislead the court. Under the guidelines under 3C1.1, perjury amounts to obstruction of justice. District court correctly found so, and I would ask this court to affirm the judgment and the sentence. If there are no questions of me, I'll have a seat.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mr. Gilmore.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Anything further, Mr. Williams?
The district court stated that the obstruction enhancement was given because of Lincoln's false testimony at trial, not his actions that constituted the offense. His testimony at trial was an explanation of his actions. He was found guilty early on, and his testimony was incredulous. His actions was the offense, and he was penalized and found guilty because of that. In explaining his actions, he now gets hit again for a perjury. And this is why we feel there's a double strike against him. I believe that he was enhanced because of his actions against, and that's how we came with the double penalty argument. And not the testimony per se, but the action and his explanations of his actions. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And Mr. Williams, the court extends its thanks to you for your willingness to accept the appointment and the assistance you've been in this case. Thank you very much. This case is taken under advisement.